This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm David Salkeld and I'm sitting in for Tony this week. The so-called successful relationship between the United States and Iran continues. This past weekend, Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Zarif stated that his country's missile program is not up for negotiation. A direct contrast from what we've heard from the discussions in the Obama administration. On the 7th of this month, Secretary of State John Kerry said that the U.S. and our partners were, quote, prepared to work on a new arrangement to find a peaceful solution to these issues, end quote. However, Zarif dismissed that line just days later. Why does this administration continue to try and negotiate with the Iranian regime? Navy veteran, chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, and Arizona Senator John McCain joined Tony with that answer.
Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony, and I think it's important that we continue this conversation about the Iranian behavior, and it isn't just missiles, and I'd be glad to talk a lot more of their activities, but I think it's pretty clear that the money is being used for purposes, a lot of it that over time can harm Americans' national security interest, including a new anti-air defense missile capabilities that they just got from Russia that are being installed. I'm sure you saw that.
Is there anything positive that came out of this agreement with Iran that the Obama administration negotiated?
I'm sure if we looked hard enough, there might, that they would ship out some of their fissionable materials, I think, is a plus. But basically what we've done is say 10 years from now, you can do whatever you want. And as you mentioned before we spoke, they have continued to develop their missile capabilities. They're in violation of UN sanctions. And one thing that's kind of interesting, you know, that there's certain signals in anecdotal events. When they tested two missile capabilities in Hebrew, they wrote on both of those missiles, as I'm sure you know, "Death to Israel." They make no bones about their ambitions and their what they view as their mission, and that is they are an existential threat to the state of Israel, which is, by the way, as a side effect, as you know, we now have the worst relationship with Israel.
Right.
Than we've had since Israeli independence. The way that that our president has treated Benjamin Netanyahu is disgraceful. It's just absolutely disgraceful. And I don't have to remind our listeners that Israel happens to be the only free elected democratic government in all of the Middle East. And it's look, I think a lot of Tony, I think a lot of bad things are going to happen in the next 9 months before we get a new president, because I think Vladimir Putin, the Iranians, the Chinese, and others, and the folks in Raqqa believe that they're never going to have a better deal than the one they got now with a president who believes in leading from behind.
Well, let me ask you about that, Senator. You say something bad's going to happen. I mean, we're talking now about bad deals that have been negotiated. Russia, with their New START agreement that doesn't take effect until February 2018, they're continuing to expand their nuclear arsenal. But do you anticipate some type of international military incident, security that concerns America between now and the next president taking office?
I'm sure you are familiar with General Clapper, or maybe some of our listeners aren't.
Yes.
He's the Director of National Intelligence, the number one intelligence person in our government, and he testified before our committee, and he was pretty candid. He said there will be more attacks in Europe, and there will be attacks in the United States of America. Either the San Bernardino style where they're self-radicalized, or one of these young men that we know that have been sent by the hundreds by the leader of ISIS, Baghdadi, into the refugee flow with secure iPhones that will then contact ISIS leadership when they get to where they want to go and orchestrate attacks on the United States of America. One thing we're finding out about Brussels and Paris, as you well know, is that the network was much larger and much more sophisticated than we had ever thought possible. And it was almost by accident that greater damage wasn't done in Brussels and in Paris. So there will be attacks on the United States of America and in Europe. That should give any of us pause. And I think that some of our listeners are now saying, well, what do you want to do about it? I'll tell you what I want to do about it, and that is 100,000 person force, 90% of it from Sunni Arab countries like Saudi Arabia and Turkey and others, and go to Raqqa and kill them, and then worry about this radicalization of Islam and that is going on in the world. But we're either going to fight them there or we're going to fight them here.
That's true.
And the president continues to set up this straw man to do nothing or send a couple of 100,000. That's right. Not what we're saying. And also a no-fly zone, as you know, Tony, so that these refugees can have some place to go besides flooding Europe.
Absolutely. And Senator, we're up against a break. Can I ask you to hold for 2 minutes? Because I want to follow up with something you said at the beginning of this interview that I think is very important. Can you hold?
Sure.
All right, good.
Sure.
Senator McCain's going to stick around. I hope you will as well. We're up against this break, but I want to come back. I want to explore a little further what he said about how this money that's gone to Iran is being used. And then I'm also going to ask him about the Bible in the POW/MIA displays that I mentioned earlier. So don't go away. We're back right after this. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter, at T. Perkins. My guest, Chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Senator from the state of Arizona, my good friend, Senator John McCain. Senator, thanks for staying over on the break.
It's a pleasure.
You mentioned at the beginning about how the money that the United States released to Iran through this deal negotiated with the administration is being used. What do we know about where that money is going?
Well, we know that we just intercepted a shipload full of weapons that were headed to Yemen to provide the most sophisticated weaponry to the Houthis, who are attempting to take over Yemen. If the Saudis had not intervened there, which they did, Yemen would now be in the hands of radical Islam, the Houthis, who were sponsored by the Iranians. It would have extended the Iranian sphere of influence. We know that they have continued their work on missile capabilities. That's the test of the two missiles that you and I talked about earlier, which, although technically not in violation of the agreement, is in violation of the UN sanctions.
Right, two separate things.
They continue to prop up Bashar Assad with the Hezbollah from Lebanon and Iranian Revolutionary Guard troops on the ground, who are now making significant gains in Aleppo, where the opposition is now basically being destroyed. And the Syrians announced that under no circumstances would there be a departure from Bashar Assad from power, as they are continue to be propped up with Russian bombing of the moderate forces. And so we continue to see Iranian behavior in the region and the statements made by their leadership and their purchases of weaponry, especially from Russia, as we mentioned. So it's turned into a situation where we have now made an agreement which is temporary in nature, even if it were adequately enforced, and they are violating other sanctions as well. Their rhetoric hasn't changed. There has been no improvement in human rights in Tehran. In fact, there are indications that they are worse. And this is what we have gotten for it. And no matter what they do, it's either covered up or diminished in the view of the administration because they don't want to jeopardize this agreement. And finally, the best attitude of that, and you know this as a former military person, the humiliation of our Navy personnel on those two ships, and the way they propagandized it, and the way they gave medals and put out on the internet the Americans apologizing. That's one of the most disgraceful things in American history.
Yes.
And our Secretary of State thanked them. Thanked them. I'm not making that up. Thanked them for returning the sailors.
Yeah, it's incredible. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Senator, one final question. I want to switch gears. Earlier, I had General Jerry Boykin, who you know very well, on the program.
A great man.
And we were talking about the VA under the Obama administration that in a number of places now has removed the Bible from the POW MIA displays. And you came up in that discussion because I said, well, I'm going to have Senator McCain on here in just a moment. And we talked about how when you and I talked about this years ago, when you were a POW, how you recited the Bible, how you remembered it, how you actually used that to help strengthen some of your other members of the military, your fellow POWs, with those encouraging words. I wanted to get your thoughts on that, how the VA is taking out something that has been a source of strength to many who have served in our nation's military.
Well, first of all, you think they might have something to do with the ongoing scandal, the ongoing disgraceful scandal that's going on in the VA. I would say that whether there's a Bible or not, there was something that I would concentrate on this terrible situation where veterans have literally died while waiting on non-existent waiting list. But the second of all, of course, a Bible is important. Of course, we demonstrated once the Vietnamese put us into large rooms that we demanded to have a church service, and they finally gave in on that. Yes, a Bible was given to me just before. I was allowed to copy out of a Bible just before Christmas of the last year that we were there so that we could have a Christmas service and worship God. They let me copy portions out of a Bible that they had. This was in the last year of our confinement. You get beyond anger, Tony. You get to just sorrow that they would think that the removal that of the presence of a Bible, which is so important, our religious faith is so important to all of us, men and women who are serving in the military, that it just makes you. I pray for the next election.
Yes, pray and work. Senator John McCain, as always, pleasure to have a conversation with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tony. See you, bye.
You can find out more about Senator McCain when you visit tonyperkins.com. When we return, Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant joins us to talk about the battle over religious liberty in his state. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the weekend edition of Washington Watch.
Are you prepared to stand for real change? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. Join thousands of like-minded Americans who envision a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at the Values Voter Summit have included Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Governor Mike Huckabee, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dr. Ben Carson, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Ollie North, Mark Levin, and many others. In addition, there will be ample opportunity to network and meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview and to discuss important issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, national security, government overreach, and more. On September 9th through 11th, stand with us and fight for the renewal of this great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to watch last year's event. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld, sitting in for FRC President Tony Perkins. After signing the Protecting Freedom of Conscience from Government Discrimination Act into law last week, Mississippi has seen its fair share of attacks for their stance to protect religious freedom. However, those in leadership are not backing down. The bill is simple. It protects people of faith from government intrusion for their biblical belief of marriage being between one man and one woman. Those who haven't read the bill, like Ohio Governor John Kasich, don't have an understanding of what the bill actually does. But that didn't stop him from spewing nonsense about the bill. This law is a line of defense for Christians in Mississippi, and we stand with the governor and the state legislature. Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant joined Tony to highlight the Protecting Freedom of Conscience from Government Discrimination Act.
Based on their annual Rich States, Poor States, the areas with the brightest economic future are all solidly Republican or leaning that way. These states, according to Alec, have the common denominator of less taxation and government spending, right-to-work labor laws, and efforts to curtail out-of-control pension cost. The bottom states reflects the opposite prognosis and are almost all solidly Democrat, end quote. By comparing things like income tax rates, property taxes, minimum wage, state and local debt, and other factors, conservative states literally blow away the competition. In case you happen to be wondering where states like North Carolina ranks on the list, try number two. The state supposedly hurting recruitment, according to the left, destroying tourism and alienating business when it gave companies power over their own bathroom policies. Well, they have the second best economic growth rate in the entire country. Well, Mississippi, where Governor Phil Bryant signed into law the Protecting Freedom of Conscience from Government Discrimination Act last week, is also in front of the pack at 17. Now, earlier this week, the Wall Street Journal warned big business of their short-sightedness in attacking North Carolina and Mississippi. Quote, I'm quoting from the Wall Street Journal, "The private economy would be foolish to reject America's heritage of liberty, which has powered the greatest engine of economic success in history. And if corporations want the benefits of a business-friendly environment with lower taxes and less regulation, they would do well to recognize who enacts such policies. People with center-right social values, not the hard left," end quote. Join me now with someone I think would agree with the Wall Street Journal's assessment, Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant. Governor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, Tony, thank you so much for having me. Absolutely. In fact, I'm just coming now from a town called Newton, Mississippi, one of our best, where we opened up a new factory there that will be manufacturing forestry products, hiring 125 employees and investing $85 million. I just had a shovel in my hand breaking ground on that new factory. It came from St. Clair, Michigan. The owner, Tim Brewer, was excited about Mississippi, its workforce, and what we stand for. So this fallacy, this idea that the left is hoping, so I almost said praying for, but hoping for that somehow people will turn away from Mississippi and companies will leave, is just that. It's a fallacy. You're absolutely right. The Wall Street Journal is absolutely right. Each time companies need our help in reducing taxes and improving the environment for the companies and corporations and workforce training, they come to those of us that are also very socially conservative, and they need to understand. Now, if they're going to continue to go against our social conservative positions, it's going to be hard for us to continue to support them in the energetic manner that we have in the past.
You know, Governor, I couldn't have said it better myself. And having served in the legislature next door there in Louisiana, and had was in the top 20% in the legislature when it came to the business rating of LABI. I agree with those principles. You know, it's a part of my conservatism. But, you know, I came from, and I think you have a very similar background. You were a sheriff's deputy. I was a sheriff's deputy. I was in a blue-collar area, first Republican elected from a district that had been Democratic. And to stand up for those business principles, you know, I had to pay a little bit of a price. I had to work a little extra harder to convince people to come along. But I did it because I believed in it. But I also agreed with business that this could be a partnership. And now that I see them turning on the social values that us, that we as conservatives have. I'm wondering, where are they going to go to create this environment that they want?
Oh, I agree, Tony, particularly when the left is waiting the lion to pounce on them, to do what Bernie Sanders is saying, to raise their taxes to 90th percentile, to make sure they're forced to take unions, that they have transgender restrooms. You go down the list of the leftist agenda and force that onto corporations, and see how long they will last. As I told someone today, I'm not only competing with Minnesota, which is, has some strange leadership there, good people in Minnesota, strange leaders. I'm competing with Mexico. So, of course, we want to create an environment that is conducive to business and get people working. We've added over 47,000 jobs in Mississippi since I've been governor. But at the same time, we cannot abandon our conservative social principles to be able to help corporations that flee from us at the first threat, the first leftist email that comes
right
out. They've got to learn that the two go together and
absolutely
cannot be separated.
It's interesting, the hypocrisy, Governor Bryant, that we see taking place here. I was just looking at this state ranking from ALEC, and those states that have banned travel to North Carolina, and I think even some even to Mississippi, those states actually rank at the bottom of the economic rankings. I mean, you got Minnesota, Vermont, New York dead last. New York is actually dead last. Washington State not looking so good either. You know, you're right. They just don't understand that the two value sets, economic, social, they go hand in hand, and that's what provides the environment that is conducive to business.
The workforce in Mississippi, those good people, and I said it just about an hour ago as we were breaking ground, that employee is the employee that built America. They come to work on time. They give you a good day's work. They respect their employer. On Sunday mornings, they're more than likely in church. Friday night, they're under the lights. They're helping with the Boy Scouts. That's the type of worker that you want. So you can't come into Mississippi and say, if they're not allowed to have a conscience about their deeply held religious beliefs, but oh, by the way, they really do make good employees.
Right.
Well, they make good employees because they do have some type of order and system often in their lives. I'm not saying anyone's perfect. We're not. But again, those two things really go together in a strong economy, because you've got those good, solid employees that are there manufacturing Nissan automobiles and Toyota automobiles and most advanced warships on the planet, and on that it goes. So, but I get it. Look, the layoff is very well organized. They are very angry. The intimidation that's put forth towards these companies is something they're not accustomed to. You and I have been through it. You and I have been on the street where people were trying to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
So as law enforcement officers, you really know what a threat is. But a lot of these CEOs are being told by their corporate counsel, we can't afford this, write a letter. But here's the hypocrisy. A couple of things that have occurred. The company like PayPal, that has a large presence in Saudi Arabia and other countries where gay people can be put to death, and they say they're not going to North Carolina because North Carolina says that men who are identifying themselves as females shouldn't go into a bathroom with little girls. They're pulling out of North Carolina because of that. Where on earth have we come to, where we're simply saying we think it's a good idea and it ought to be law, or a man who thinks he's a woman should not perhaps go into a restroom with a young girl and her mother? And we're berated and attacked and criticized for that. Strange times.
It certainly is. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Governor Phil Bryant of Mississippi, my guest. And Governor, I want to, if we get time, I want to get to some examples of this hypocrisy by other governmental leaders. But first, We've talked about this on the program. We had House Speaker Phil Gunn on the program last week after you signed the bill into law. Mm-hmm. But I want to make sure that we give our listeners an opportunity, again, to understand what this law does. This simply says that the state and its subdivisions, the local governments,
political subdivisions,
cannot punish any citizen of Mississippi because of their belief about marriage. And that's it. Doesn't affect individual relationships, doesn't allow people to deny anything to anybody. Just says the government cannot punish you over your religious beliefs on marriage and sexuality.
That's exactly what it says. And in fact, just recently, one of the business leaders that I was talking to yesterday would say, well, there's a hotel that could stop a couple from having a same-sex marriage there in their hotel. And that's why I don't like that law. I said, you understand that could have happened 6 months ago or a year ago. That right has existed for business people in states all across America. Sexual preference is not a constitutionally protected class. And there was a silence over the telephone. He said, well, no, that just can't be. Well, I'm sorry, it can't. This bill does nothing to encourage or enhance that. It deals with marriage, with the ceremonies of marriage. Now, the hypocrisy is I've got the governor of New York saying, don't visit Mississippi if you're thinking about going. And New York passed a very similar bill for religious organizations, educational religious organizations, that even said they could deny accommodations and housing if they want to. And Governor Cuomo signed that into law in 2011, along with 17 other states, such as Vermont and Connecticut. Where is that outrage been all these years?
The hypocrisy. It's unbelievable. Governor, we're up against a break. I want to thank you for joining us. As always, great to talk with you.
Thank you so much. Keep up the good work.
Well, you can find out more about today's guest when you go to TonyPerkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.